Order in the court.
Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
And I am Torian Beek.
How are you today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We're recording this a week beforehand, but I'll be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But this comes
out. I'm
excited about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of like on go mode right now because the project that we're doing and the artists that we're talking about, like, you know, is with all the events that have happened.
He's doing a lot of shit right now.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about Kendrick Lamar. We're reviewing The Damn. We're reviewing Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That album, and you know, there's so much going on right now because, like, you know, on We Don't Trust You, he has a verse and he's pretty much, you know, saying, you know, fuck the big three, it's just big me. And like, it just has my attention because I'm just like, damn, like, while listening to Damn the album, he's been saying this for all along, like, he has like a little man complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, damn, like, keeps saying,
yeah,
and you know, like, he really wants that spot. So, you know, hearing that project and knowing that, like, I guess Future and Metro let him be known, like, yo, you could bomb on these niggas on this album.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fuck them. Mm-hmm. And he just did it, you know. But what were your thoughts on We Don't Trust You?
On the album itself or the song? I like the album a lot. I think majority of why I like the album more so has to do with Metro and the way that he put it together. Cause I just really enjoy the way he sequences albums. Like, he makes everything sound like a main event.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say I didn't like Future on it. Future actually did some of he actually did rapping on this, which we just don't get that side of Future as much anymore. But I think the production of this is what brought that out. And then the features on here were great. You had Ross. That Ross feature was really good.
Immaculate.
The production for that song, really good. And then you got Playboi Carti. You hear Thugger on here. Yeah, man, this album. And The Weeknd, which was funny because I remember when Diddy's album was coming out, he was promoting The Weeknd's feature as the last Weeknd feature for some reason. You remember that?
I do.
I don't know why the fuck. So
I think Puff just jumped the gun. Maybe Ken said this, like, I'm not doing no more features after this, but like, he recorded that before he recorded the song with Puff.
Yeah, maybe. But I know that he didn't want to. There was a point too where he was saying The Weeknd is no longer a thing. He was saying he's not calling himself The Weeknd no more.
He's just gonna be able to testify.
Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck? So I don't know. But from what I know, he's still calling himself The Weeknd. Anyway, I really like this album. And I think next week they're coming out with another one.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's next week or
more Drake disses.
It might be. What's gonna happen with that? That's what I wanna see.
I don't think much is, I think it's gonna take time. I'll say this much. I think that people wanting a response immediately is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's social media, you know. And Drake kind of conditioned him to that. I waited 4 days. Where y'all at? Like, you know, he did that.
But that's true. But I'm gonna shoot Drake some bail, which I don't usually do. Meek is supposed to be Mr. Rappity Rapper, flamers in the street, just having bars. So I think it was just like, I thought you were the rapper guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a stance that he was taking. Like, I understand, like, people were like, yo, but he said this to Meek. But like, Meek's supposed to be from Philly, like, where he's from. Like, they breed, like, they birth Muslims and rappers.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's just something that, like, that's what I think his stance was from that. Like, you know, because he ain't said to Pusha T.
Yeah, but he lost that battle
because of his silence. Even though, like, I definitely know that Pusha T won, but like, Drake was silent. Like, he kind of.
But Drake, so when Drake did, I mean, when
W Freestyle,
when Infrared came out, only a couple days later, W Freestyle came.
A day later.
Yeah.
Because I think he already knew Infrared was on the way, so he just had it, like, in the tuck. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't, Drake is battle-tested, so
He is battle-tested.
I'm not concerned about Drake. I saw something where I was just bored on YouTube and somebody was trying to say that Common won that battle, and I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, you're probably talking about that channel I've been following, too. I think it's What's the Dirt.
something like
that. Shout out to What's the Dirt. He does really good research.
Yeah, he does. Somebody, he's a white guy from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know if he's from Canada, but I just know he's some white guy.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Like, I didn't think that comment went that. I think the State Scheme verse was...
State Scheme verse was amazing. But on just purely a rap perspective, on purely rap, I think Common got him.
Purely rap?
Yeah, it was just purely rap.
I'll listen back to So Sweet.
Yeah, So Sweet was good, but he also had other shit before So Sweet.
He did.
That was really good. And after it, too.
I just think the Canada Drop bar is what did it.
Oh, yeah, Canada Drop. Yeah, I liked it back then. Back then it was good. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this beef, man. I don't even know how far it's gonna go. But all I know is Kendrick been wanting this for a while.
Okay.
He's been wanting this for a minute. So
let's get into this album.
So speaking of Kendrick, you know, the album that we're getting into is Damn. Damn is his fourth album. And it was released April 14th, 2017. We're coming up on the anniversary of this album. Album was a commercial and critical success. It received Best Rap Album at the 2018 Grammys. And of course, Pulitzer Prize for Music. The album features appearances from Rihanna, Zachary from TDE, and U2. The album sold 603,000 copies in the first week of release and was led by three singles, which were Humble, Loyalty, and Love. It was expected to be released April 7th. After he put out The Heart Part 4, and he was like, y'all got to April 7th to get y'all shit together. So it was supposed to just follow, but then for whatever reason, they pushed it back like another week, which is
maybe sample clearances.
Yeah, which still worked in its favor. Everybody was already on alert and already waiting for it. So coming off of To Pimp a Butterfly, going into this album, we didn't really know what to expect from Kendrick. We didn't know, like, To Pimp a Butterfly was such a big switch in his artistry. And like, we thought you kind of pinned him as one type of artist. And then To Pimp a Butterfly completely changed everything, right? So Damn, it was like up in the air. We didn't know what we were getting. So what was your perception of this album when it came out?
I was kind of like thrown off because To Pimp a Butterfly is my favorite Kendrick album. And I thought I had him figured out, like, oh, okay, like this is like the lane that he's going in. And like Damn is such like a conflicting album and an angry album, in my opinion. And I think that like Damn is great and I love the imagery from it. And I love that he was like really like putting his flag in the sand that he's the best rapper, period, no matter who you're talking about, like past or present. But It kind of was like when I first heard Damn, I thought it was amazing. But like with all of the people having conspiracy theories about like the meaning of songs and like playing it backwards and forwards and everything like that, it kind of made me enjoy it less because I felt so much pressure to understand what the fuck he was like, where he was going with.
Got you.
But I was able to like gather some things and like listen to it on my own and then this revisit. And it's basically just about like good and evil, the wicked and the weak, the wicked and the weak,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's duality. It's two things, two different sides. And Kendrick gives us that on each track is wicked, weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something that I was just trying to understand because like this won a Pulitzer Prize because this is something that should be taught in colleges and mm-hmm. in the schools and stuff like that. So that's what I took from it. And, you know, like there was a lot of controversial shit that was said in this album. And I wonder how he didn't get backlash for it.
Like what?
So remember the voicemail from his Uncle Carl where he's telling him that like, yo, you're Israelite. Like, you know what I'm saying? And basically he's telling him from the book of Deuteronomy that all people of color are suffering because they're the original people of God and God is punishing us because we haven't like fully like embraced God. We don't live our life that way. So I didn't understand how the Jewish community was not on his ass for that.
Yeah. I mean, this was 2017 at the same time. So I just think
that this album was so smart. It went over their heads and they didn't catch it.
Yeah.
They were mad at him for All Right. You know,
they were mad at him for All Right. And then some women were mad at him for Be Humble. Which was crazy. The whole I'm sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something real with stretch marks.
Yeah, because his wife is fair skinned.
Yeah, yeah. But
and
like we gotta pick our battles better.
Yeah, man.
We gotta pick what we mad about better.
get it.
Somebody's coming out there and saying what they like and don't like,
mm-hmm.
not shitting on it, but this is what I like. I don't like this, but I like this. Then the people over here are like, why you don't like this? And it's like, well, I don't like it. Like, what the fuck y'all want me to do? What do y'all, like, what? Come on. We got to be better.
This album had a lot of, it was just a human, he's a human being. And I think that this album was like when he was in the thick of his stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was a lot of shit that he was just dealing with. You know, he went from being like this just regular kid in Compton, you know, as he calls by his family, man. And he's next thing you know, he's the biggest star in the world. And like, he's on all these stages. Like, it wasn't even predicted that Kendrick was going to be this big, you know, like when we were looking at artists coming up through the blog era, like we, you know, it wasn't, he wasn't picked as the one.
Yeah.
And then to achieve this greatness and him having like a chip on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
he's a little guy. So I'm pretty sure he got picked on a lot, you know, coming up and everything like that. Probably gave him a complex.
Typically, you see the ripple effects of that level of stardom happen between the second and the third album for somebody that's going to be out here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was heightened when it happened to Eminem because he's white. So it's like, it's, there's more that goes into that. So like Slim Shady LP into Marshall Mathers, you get songs like The Way I Am and all of it, like all these songs that are so, you're so tainted by stardom,
mm-hmm.
and like the way that people treat you and stuff like that. And Kendrick explores a lot of different themes that are similar to that,
yep.
on this album.
What is it? What is it? The seven deadly sins or the nine deadly sins?
Seven. Yeah.
Seven deadly sins are absolutely like referenced throughout this whole project.
Yeah.
Even some of the song titles are after the seven deadly
sins. Yeah. Lust. Is it fear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few of them on there.
Yeah, but like they're all weaved into the theme of this album, yeah. of wickedness and weakness.
This is absolutely a Hotep album.
It is. But then also what gives it so much praise too is that it's like that, but then it also has commercial appeal.
Oh yeah.
So it's a balance.
It's crazy, right? Because this is to me his most commercial album.
It is.
And when he went on, so I missed the damn tour, but I went to the TDE tour. And the TDE tour was great, and I regretted not going to the damn tour. I had tickets to go see Damn, and then like the day of, I was doing something else, and I just didn't feel like driving to the arena because I had to take it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to go see the TDE tour, and it was like kind of themed like a pep rally for a sports team, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like J-Rock was huge at that time too with his project.
Oh, yeah.
So it was cool to see like all of them, but I regret not going to see them.
Yeah. I saw Kendrick when he was in tour mode for this. That's when I went to that Dave Chappelle show. At Radio City.
And he closed. Okay.
And he closed. So I went to the day that it said Dave Chappelle and a very special guest, because who did I think it was? Yeah. Eddie Murphy.
Oh, you thought, oh.
Because look. Right at the time on Facebook, this is when I was still on Facebook, but look, so on Facebook, Dave Chappelle put up a video of him talking to Eddie Murphy on FaceTime. And he was like, yo, doing this run at Radio City, just come out for one day. He was like, you know, I got all these kids, nigga. Like, I ain't leaving. He was like, yo, just come for one day. He was like, I think about it. I love you, bro. And then they get off the phone. And then soon after that, he put up all the dates and all the dates that said Dave Chappelle with Solange, Dave Chappelle with Erykah Badu. It had all these people in their names. And then this one said a very special guest. I'm like,
Eddie Murphy.
It's Eddie Murphy. It was like a good, you know, hypothesis, you know, like it was like that was my prediction. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to pick this day that it doesn't say a name. I went and his very special guest was Kendrick Lamar. Right. And I was like,
not a letdown.
It's not a letdown, but you could have put Kendrick's name. You put Erykah Badu's name. You put Solange's name.
Kendrick is the biggest, is more of a special guest than those two people.
You think so? I mean, in current times, I guess, right? Okay. But yeah, Kendrick came out and he was in full on Kung Fu Kenny mode. Like when he introduced Kendrick, the lights went out, big ass screen came on. Kendrick was like with some fucking nunchucks and it was a lot. Like, and then Kung Fu Kenny
got the glow,
came on the screen, and then he came out and performed DNA. Like he ran through some shit. Like it was really dope to see.
That's cool.
And it was a really good show. But yeah, man, this was definitely his most commercial project. even though it tackles some real issues. So it opens, the album opens with Blood, which helps set the tone for this album. For Divide in Thought with Wickedness and Weakness, consistent theme that's a battle throughout the album.
Attempting to help the old lady and like good conscience and like doing something as a good Samaritan, which bounces back of like her in turn shooting him, right? And then it takes us on this journey and this path of like, you know, the right decision and discipline, obedience, which is like another theme with this album too. Mm-hmm. But that shoots us right into DNA.
Right. The funny thing to me about the old lady shooting him is like, you know, that viral video, the old man where somebody's trying to rob him and he pretends to have a heart attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, call an ambulance for you.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But yes, it takes us right into DNA, right? He's the biggest rapper on the planet, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if you noticed, but I got really, really, really intricate. He lists 23 times he lists off 23 different things about his DNA. And you know, there's 23 chromosomes in your DNA.
No, I didn't realize that he did that.
Yeah, like if you listen to it, he's naming the things that's like in his DNA that makes him. And it's like good and bad. But the funny thing to me is just that, do you think that rappers are this calculated when they're making projects?
There's this, I forget who it is. Every time I think, Dissect, it's probably Dissect. Every time they put something up, I'm like, yo, that's really smart, but I don't know if he was thinking like that. It just so happens that it works that way.
And I've never, like, it's rare because, like, when artists get interviewed and, like, they get asked these questions, you can tell that they be, like, they just go along with it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. I think sometimes it just so happens like that.
Yeah, but there's definitely some rappers that I will give that credit. Like, if this came up, if that same fact came up and we were talking about Lupe, you probably wouldn't question it.
Yeah, you wouldn't question it at all.
And it's like, oh yeah, nah, that's Lupe.
Yeah. There's some artists where I think like they absolutely like go out their way to do that. Like they count certain things in a song, or like they make sure like each bar starts with a certain letter or something like that, so it can spell something out. Mm-hmm. And had a message. And when Zane Lowe interviewed Kendrick about this project, like he alluded to, he said that a lot of things are left up for the fans to decide.
Interpretation.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I mean, like, we all have 23 chromosomes.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then not even just that, and the message into that, his fucking flow on this song.
Yes.
He kicked that shit up. Did you write down the sample for that too?
I did not.
I knew it. But there is a consistent, like, the give me some ganja. Like, that's a consistent
let's see though.
That's a consistent sample.
Yeah, why not? Let's
see. He samples Keith Murray, the countdown.
Okay, so Mike Will produced this one.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
It doesn't say it?
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of the songs that they sample is from Keith Murray.
Okay.
Shout out to Keith Murray. He's not in the best state of mind at this moment. I saw a very troubling video of him recently. Yeah.
I didn't know Keith was still at it.
He's still at it, like heavy. It's pretty sad to see. But yeah, no, DNA is amazing. It's rap. It's elite rapping. The video was amazing. Shout out to Don Cheadle. You know, Don Cheadle had to memorize this fucking song the way that
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that shit was dope. And then Kung Fu Kenny, the whole moniker was inspired by Don Cheadle's character from Rush Hour.
And I was so mad, like, when the song, like, I didn't catch that. Mm-hmm. That his name was Kung Fu Kenny in Rush Hour.
Yeah. So that shit was fly. It's so many random moments that helped make this album. And then, yeah, DNA leads us to Ya, which is short for, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, but it's Yahuwah.
Yahweh, which is God.
Another name for God. Yeah. On this song, like you were saying earlier, like he said, I'm an Israelite, don't call me black no more.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is also like the second or third time that he played this clip of Geraldo Rivera saying that he didn't really like Kendrick's messaging from like All Right. He called out All Right particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendrick said in the press, like, yo, how could you take something that's so positive and turn it into a negative? Like, it's meant to uplift my people.
Right.
And
because they hate Pope Pose.
Yeah. That's the part that he Geraldo Rivera like highlighted. But and then Geraldo Rivera was like interviewed about it afterwards, and he said Drake's music should be celebrated more than Kendrick's, which I thought was very interesting in these times. but it was just crazy because at the same time, he said that he doesn't really listen to Kendrick like that. And he was like, yeah, I don't really know his catalog like that, but I just know that Drake should be highlighted more. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. This song, like, is such like a gear change because, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like slowed down.
It slows it down.
Like the one thing that's interesting to me is he said about his recording process is that he tries to stick with the theme of what he's recording. So let's say he has a better song, that song just gets left on the cutting room floor. So I think a song like Y'all, a song I don't really care for. So in my mind, I'm like, he definitely had a better song than this.
Mm.
But this song fit the flow of what he was, the message that he was trying to deliver on this project. So this is what we got.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Y'all takes us into Element, which was played everywhere.
Yeah, this song is
inescapable.
Yeah.
Kid Capri doesn't get the love he deserves, the flowers he deserves for this album. Right. I think this was probably the beginning of like the resurrection of including DJs the way that people were on their albums again.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. And the funny thing is original, we would have gotten it with Drake and DJ Drama if he let DJ Drama keep his part on If You're Reading This Too Late.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so Kid Capri had an interview, and he said that he had no idea what he was going into. He recorded his parts, but he didn't hear the album.
Mm-hmm.
And the album was originally supposed to be called What Happens on Earth Stays on Earth. That's why he keeps saying it over and over again. And it's funny because it's like, damn, like, when I first heard it, I was like Vegas? Like, but, yeah, like, you know, Kendrick is saying, like, yo, what happens here stays here. So, like, live your life, and then, you know, you deal mm-hmm. with your making when you get there and shit mm-hmm. like that. Like, this shit gonna stay here anyway. You're gonna leave it behind.
Which I think is just such a good fucking, what happens on Earth stays on Earth. I love that fucking quote.
Right.
But, yeah, this song is fun. The chorus is fire. Kendrick is always good at choruses, man. He's so good at being tapped into shit like that.
He is. Also, like, you could tell that, like, on this song, like, he's being, like, very braggadocious, and you could tell that, like, to hide from, like, his feelings of feeling, like, because he feels like his family is cursed, or, like, his people are cursed. To hide from that, or, like, to hide from his success, like, that's why, like, he goes so hard at being the best rapper and mm-hmm. getting that admiration and stuff like that, feeling that love, because outside of being a rap superstar, he kind of don't feel it.
Yeah. And then that perfectly leads us into Phil, because Phil is the lonely at the top perspective
yep.
that a lot of artists do, right?
Yeah.
And this is where he's at with it. Like, right. this is, like, how he's feeling, ain't nobody praying for me.
Yes,
I wanted
to get to that part.
Yeah.
So but on Element, ain't nobody praying for me is said, right? And then on Feel, it seems like when he's saying it, it's for different reasons. So on the track before that, it seems like he's like, I don't give a fuck. Ain't nobody praying for me, I'm me, mm-hmm. I'm doing this. And then on Feel, it's like, he's like, wait. Ain't nobody praying for me? And like, you know, the chick that's saying it on the track and everything like that, I just feel like he's coming to the realization that like, yo, like I'm doomed.
Yeah. It explores kind of backing himself into a corner, and it explores the isolation that is kind of foreshadowed in Kendrick's career. Because I think this album was the last time that he actually did full on press, you know, for an album. Before he kind of went into his own like hole, you know,
he did.
Like after this, like he did Zayn Lowe, he did a How Many Seven interview for this album, he did a lot of shit for this album. And I think after this and this song, is it kind of foretells where he's at now. Like it, like he kind of just does his own thing, and he doesn't really rely on the internet like how the typical artist would.
I think he reached that status where he kind of doesn't have to. Like he doesn't have to do like a press run or anything like that. I think down the line though, he's going to have to do press runs again and stuff. I think all of them are eventually. Like when artists reach a certain point and like new artists come in and they get older, they have to do press runs to remind the younger generation that of who they are. So that might be like 10 years from now where Kendrick goes on a press run. If 10 years from now he's still making
it. I mean, that nigga be 46 in 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, but I think for Kendrick, he became one of those artists. I think this song has a lot to do with that, the messaging. He just became one of those artists that's like, yo, like, all this shit is fake. All these people fake. Like, all these artists have these moments where they're just like, yo, I'm not doing this shit no more. Like, we're seeing Cole slowly come out of the hole with his next rollout that's coming out now. But at the same time, he's saying it's going to be his last album. So it's like, but I think that has a lot to do with it, though. Since he feels like it's going to be his last one, he's like, let me give them everything now. Let me go on tour with the biggest artists in the world, even though, you know, I don't really fuck with this sphere of superstardom. But let me just do this now because it helps me in the long run. So we'll see. But
Cole gonna be making a flute album soon.
Who knows? Who knows? I could see him doing some shit like that. Cole and Three Stacks would make a good song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They would make a really good song.
The next song is Loyalty, featuring Rihanna. The video was dope. I really enjoyed the video. Toxic relationship for sure. That was pretty much like what I like gathered from it. And then like seeing like, okay, so in this video, you got more of an idea of where he was going for with the album, like with the duality. There's two Kendricks in there. There's a good Kendrick, there's a bad Kendrick. And just showing like him as a different person. The imagery, the barking dog, him allowing Rihanna to kill him, and he kind of like be, you know, come out on the other side being the bad version of Kendrick. Like, I just thought that was pretty cool. Like, I was like, okay, like it gives you a little bit more insight. I don't enjoy his singing.
No,
I'm not a fan of Kendrick singing.
I like it. I thought, because it's not really like singing, it's just like carrying a melody, carrying a tune.
I don't need it.
But I like this song a lot. It was a huge hit, perfect collab. It's so hard not to be humble, quote unquote, which is like a thing. Grappling with this fame, right? Grappling with remaining tethered, remaining grounded.
It's hard not to know that you that nigga.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard not to acknowledge that you that nigga. Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to. That's what he does a lot on this album. Oh yeah, and this song won Best Rap Song Performance at the 2018 Grammys. Of course. And then this is followed by Pride.
Love's gonna get you killed. And I think that is like in rep, like, you know, it really follows the album, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you have Loyalty, and he has this song where like he's talking about like love with Rihanna, and then like, you know, it moves on to like this one, like Pride, and like it's just telling us like what love is going to happen to him, like what pride is going to do to him, like if these things like pride is going to cause death.
Also, keeps the religious theme going.
Right.
Proverb 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. And then that, of course,
leads us into
humble.
Humble, the Big Sean diss. I remember Felix told me, he was like, that's a Big Sean diss, like the little bit. And I was like, what? Like, why would he? Like, I just was.
Hold up.
I didn't get it. I knew. I was like, yeah, that is a Big Sean. I didn't believe it. Like, I was like, why? Like, who the fuck doesn't like Big Sean? Like, I was so, like, that was so left field. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are you picking on Big Sean? Like, he's not cool.
He can't stand his ass. Oh, another thing, speaking of Big Sean, so another thing we didn't reference, did you hear that that alternate version that leaked of Element?
I did.
Yeah, where he dissed Jay Electronica, Big Sean, French Montana. I thought that was crazy. Kendrick might be, like, the last of a dying breed of MC that calls out names.
Yeah. You wanna know what I think is funny? I think that a lot of people don't know how to listen to rap. Because I had one of my boys where he was arguing. He was like, yo, I don't like when rappers aren't direct. And I was like, what rappers are direct? Like, who says name? He was like, well, Nas. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, we knew that him and Jay-Z was going at it. I was like, but Nas is one of the most like prolific subliminal rappers on earth in history. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, most rap is subliminal. Like, so when people say names, I'm like, all right, cool. We got Tupac's Hit 'Em Up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, but I'm like, most times the best raps, the best disses are subliminals that we find out years later, and we gotta like comb through, like go through it with a fine comb. Like,
yeah, there's certain subliminals where you just know, and then there's other ones like how Kanye was talking about what Drake does, where he'll diss you, and nobody will know he's dissing you but you, because he's talking about something that y'all know,
right? You know? But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's very odd to me that sometimes like people will like make it. I don't know. Like they just make things like a little more odd. I don't know. They make things like a little. It's fucking weird, bro. I can't get over it. Like it just annoys me that like sometimes like people just don't like they don't like that. Like I'm like, it's a part of the sport. Like it's you know what I'm saying. Like I don't know. It just bothers me that when people aren't like. Excited about subliminal raps.
Yeah. It is definitely like people just don't like to think about shit. They want everything to be black and white.
Nah, man. I love the fact that there's people finding out just now that Biggie and Nas were going at it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's dope.
That's art. Yeah, that's art. You're not supposed to get it all the time right away.
Right. Did you know Humble was supposed to go to Gucci Mane?
No, I didn't know that, but I can hear him on that beat.
He would have ruined that song.
You think so? I think he would have floated on that shit.
Well, it wouldn't have did what Kendrick did.
No.
It wouldn't have did that.
He would have did something completely different. But I think he would have sounded great. Gucci always knows how to rap. He knows how to
Guap know how to rap. I'm just saying it probably would have been an album cut that wouldn't have been a lead single for him.
No, probably not. But needless to say, Humble is a banger. The video is amazing. Shout out to Dave Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Myers always keeps a consistently good visual. And this one was no different. And then Humble leads us into Lust.
I need some water.
Which is another one of the seven deadly sins. Still with everyday temptations and this constant battle.
This song is about lusting after a gorgeous woman and sex. Mm-hmm. All this nigga do is do metaphors and references to his dick and sex.
Let me pull the hidden.
Yeah. So yeah, like that's like what I got. And it's like, yo, he's going through the stages of stardom and like the things that like come to him. So like pride, money, like lust, like, you know, these things come with stardom and like where he's at. And, you know, it's really funny because you don't think like an artist like Kendrick Lamar gets bitches, but he definitely does.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an artist, you most likely get bitches. But yeah, Lust is another really good one. Love follows that.
Sing it again.
Well, yeah, but Zakari kills this.
Yeah, he does. She does.
He does. Zakari bodies this. They talked about the creative process of this and how Kendrick heard the track and kind of basically made Zakari send it to him and was like, yo, I need this. And then he asked for the stems, and then it became what it is now. But one of the standouts for me, for sure, on this album.
And, you know, he's referencing his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But also what was interesting
is his own 21 questions.
Yeah. What's interesting is that, like, he pretty much says that, like, loyalty and trust are more important to him than love. And I thought that was, like, interesting to, like, state. Because for some people, like, they're like, yeah, like, love is great, but, like, I need to be able to trust you. I need your loyalty. I need that. That was a quite interesting thing. Like, I can imagine, like, in that household, like, I'll be honest, like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a friend named Courtney, and he's short. And sometimes when I think about Kendrick Lamar, I think about Courtney. And I just think about, like, you know, Courtney getting drunk arguing with his wife, Chanel, and I think that's the same way how Kendrick and his wife argue. Same way. It's funny, I know. Shout out to Court. Love you, buddy. But, yeah, I definitely think about that. Yeah. That's what I match.
Oh, that's so funny. But yeah, okay. So Triple X, right?
Yeah.
Triple X.
Fool Kenny.
Features U2.
That was and a surprise. I did not think that this song was going to sound so good.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's fucking chaotic as hell.
Mm-hmm.
The production. Kendrick said there's 6 different verses to this song that he wrote.
And, I think this one was fitting because it's, you know, talking about like the poor state of America, and that's kind of YouTube's bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, calls out American hypocrisy. And it's a transitional moment on this album, shifting from like something like love and talking about like looking more inner to like more outward now mm-hmm. with like the state of the world.
Right.
So
do you think that the character Johnny that he references is about Baby Keem? Talking about Johnny wants to drop out of school. Johnny don't want to go to school no more. He wants to be a rapper.
I don't think so.
No?
No. Nah.
Maybe I'm just reaching. Sorry.
I don't think so. But I was
trying to get in my bag of
symbolism. I don't know. I don't think so. But then I love the part where he brings it back inward and he talks about his family and being a protector toward the end. And he's like, yo, you come for this person, you come for that person, it's over for you. And then talks about shooting people, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, all right, now let me go. I got to go host this thing about gun violence or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, kids, so don't. Kids, yeah.
That was funny.
I love that part.
Yeah, I feel like that's most.
That's most rappers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. That's funny as hell.
So then that leads us into Fear.
Yes.
Which explores it explores Kendrick at 3 different stages of his life.
Yes, it does. Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah. So 7 years old, 17, and 27. So all 10 years apart.
Right.
7, which your biggest fear, different stages of fear.
Your mom.
Yeah, his mom, having a strict parent.
Mm-hmm.
17, you outside now.
And you don't want to be statistic.
You're not trying to die at such a young age. 27, right. You're facing more real shit now.
Right. And
you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, for him, he didn't want to lose his stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Like a celebrity, you know, get canceled or mm-hmm. anything like that.
Or, losing his creativity, okay. Losing his humbleness.
Right.
Are
you familiar with the story of Job from the Bible?
Which story?
Okay, so Job, there's a character in there named Job. So, basically, God told Job, like, I'll give you all the riches of the world. You just have to prove to me that you are loyal to me. So he just ruined his life. Like, it's kind of like the movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
So where, like, God just does everything to fuck his life up. Like, mm-hmm. ruins his marriage, like, ruins things for children, like, makes him broke, like, just all these bad things. And then God will ask him, like, do you still... you know, praise me. Am I still your Lord and Savior? He would say, yes, God. So then, like, eventually, like, he gives him all the riches and makes it all worth it.
Mm.
And, like, Kendrick is, like, referencing that story in the song, and it's just like, oh, shit, like, you know, this, like, because there's certain, you know, I was just Sunday school when I was a kid, so there's certain stories I remember, so when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit. But, like, my grandfather used to be like, be like Joe.
Be like Joe. Yeah, and then the fourth verse, actually, is like, you know, exploring like the weaker side, the weak perspective.
I have a problem with that.
What?
So with him saying the wicked or the weak, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously to do wicked shit would be like the dark side, to do stuff like, you know, with the devil or hell, right? But the weak is, I guess, being submissive to God.
But then, yeah, but
or
then...
good, like, the weak is, like, doing, like, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, wicked or weak, like, it's, like, this side or that side. So, like, for me, like, I had a hard time grasping that, because I don't think, like, submitting to God or, like, I'm not a super religious person, but, like, I consider that weak. Or maybe I'm getting it wrong.
So you're saying... not submitting it? No, you're saying submitting would be weak?
That's what I'll gather from it, yeah. Because if you're throughout the album, like, you could tell, like, Kendrick has a problem, like, acknowledging God. Like, he's upset, like, yo, if you're so great, why are you letting all this shit happen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his cousin Carl on the voicemail is explaining to him, like, yo, we are the black, we are the Israelites. We are God's children. Us, his Latinos, and Indians, Native Americans, are the people of God. We are Israelites. And we will not know happiness until, like, we acknowledge God and do everything on a righteous path.
Mm.
And, like, him telling him that story and, like, it goes throughout the album. So for me, I'm just like, you know, Kendrick is just like pissed off, like, yo, why did, like, slavery, like, all of these things, horrible things have happened to us. Like, why do we deserve that? And it's because God is mad at us. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. I just started, like, thinking, like, really deep, like, damn, like, why would it be weakness to, you know, do the right thing?
That's interesting. Well, I think, I don't know if he was thinking about it like that. I think he explored it in a way that was, I'm trying to find what I wrote. It was something that stood out to me. Yeah, it was something that stood out to me from here. I think he explored weakness or wickedness as, like, he kind of formed it in line with, like, discipline and not, like, having discipline and obedience.
Okay.
So I think that's the way he explored it. But the wickedness part is, like, everything else, like, you know, the lust, the not having humbleness and fear and not believing or questioning God. And, like, those type of elements that you see him try to tug with, I think is something like that.
Okay.
But then having a discipline falls in line with, you know, just kind of, like, submitting.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It was just something I just thought about, and I think that's kind of what Kendrick wanted anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So the next thing we lead into is God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess he's been through the ringer now, so he's like, yo, I'm on the God train.
Mm-hmm. This is what I wrote for this. Like, the battle of trying to remain humble while acknowledging his own greatness remains a challenge. So, yeah, it's this balancing act that he keeps kind of toying with, that he's having a problem with unbalancing.
Okay.
This work I feel like.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with the singing on this one. It was okay. I wasn't mad at the singing on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool how, like, you know, it says fear God, like, you know, if you're just looking at it, like, reading it down or whatever like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. But, yeah. Let's move
fear
on.
Fear God Duckworth.
Yeah, fear God Duckworth. Let's move into Duckworth, man. Mm-hmm. This story is so crazy to me.
Yeah, every time I hear this, I'm like, bro, you waited 4 albums to tell this story? This would have been the first story I told.
Yeah, I just think that what he did with Duckworth was, like, some of the best storytelling ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Top Dog, like, first of all, it starts out with Top Dog talking to the police, and the police officer, like, asking him to, like, basically be, like, the neighborhood snitch.
Mm-hmm.
Declines that, goes to KFC.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's robbed the KFC already.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back, and then, you know, Ducky, his dad, gives them free food. Like, yo, here, take this. And it, like, stops him from robbing the place. But I just think it kind of, like, it's funny because I feel like everybody probably would have been like, I feel like that was, like, open game on them. Like, you know how I always tell a story how Nate Dogg was robbing Taco Bell's with $10,000 check in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for it to come full circle, I'm like, okay, maybe this is Kendrick, like, saying, like, yo, like, you know, if Top Dog shot that shit up, he wouldn't be here, and Top Dog, the label, like, it would just ruin so much stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, yo.
Like, he would be fatherless.
Yeah, he would be fatherless. Top would be in jail. Like, mm-hmm. It would just be all of this, and he probably wouldn't be the Kendrick Lamar that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's, like, a cool story, and, like, I think everyone collectively, like, when we all heard this and realized it was, like, went to the Twitter timeline, it was just like, yo.
Yeah, like, this is real?
Insane. That's just interesting. Like, you know, like, your dad, like, hey, dad, like, I'm going to, like, be working with these guys. His name's Top Dog. Like, he has a record label. All right, I'd like to come. Then you come in and they see each other.
Like, yo, what shit. The fuck? Yeah, what a mind fuck, for real.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that ends, like, the forward journey of this album.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we know about another journey that this album takes
us. Right. It's funny because, it's like, if you start it from the original way, it's like it goes from, like, darkness to, like, light, like a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, in the opposite way, it starts from, like, a good story until, like, a bad ending. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just, like, either way, however you want to start the story off. You want to start off with a happy story or a bad story. Like, And that's pretty much the meat and potatoes of what, like, we were, like, learning as we were, like, listening to this project.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to these ratings. I want to hear what you think.
Okay. I give Damn a 4 out of 5 waffles. It's a great project. Like, his rapping is immaculate. The beat selection is great. For me, I wasn't a fan of the singing on this project, and like knowing that, I felt like I like Loyalty, but I felt like Loyalty and Y'all were like songs that were like shoehorned in because they fit the narrative of the song. But I'm like, I can't let go that he had better songs.
Mm. I get this album a 4.5. I think the storytelling is so good. It's refreshing. It's unlike anything. It's such an adventurous album, and it takes so many chances. But then at the same time, you know, it's very serious on the surface, but it still manages to be his most commercial album. Yeah. So it's like, it's this balance that I've never seen before.
I think the closest rapper that got to it was Jay.
With which album?
Blueprint.
How so?
A commercial album that still like keeps its integrity as far.
Oh, and that, yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. Then I'd agree with that. But I think as far as like with this, I was talking about more so like the topics that he explores.
Okay.
There's nothing that's really like commercial about it. But the commercial appeal is the features. So you got features. Rihanna, you got U2, you know, those are big staples on this album. And he kind of just brings them into his world and takes a little bit from them too. Like, you're not using U2 is very intentional, you know?
Absolutely.
Using Rihanna is really intentional, especially in 2017 where she's coming off of Anti, you know? So this album, just front to back or back to front, pause, is just an exploration piece. Like, it's really, really good in that way. No matter how you revisit it, I would just say go into it looking like really intentionally, listening to the story that he's giving here. Whether you agree with it or not, I think it just still stands tall.
Yeah, this album definitely stands the test of time. And yeah. Chrissy, if you're watching, don't be mad at me. To Pimp a Butterfly, to me, is his classic album and his best album. But Damn is up there. It's just what I like from Kendrick is not wholeheartedly what this project gave. Like, you know,
I think Pimp a Butterfly is absolutely a classic. I think this is my most replayable Kendrick album.
Damn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think like Damn would be like what Kanye's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is. Whereas like he basically gave the fans like what he knew that they would eat up and want. Mm-hmm, like, and I think for some rappers, that's the thing that like fucks them up, because they'd be like, yo, I know exactly what y'all want and I can just do that. But they like challenging themselves.
Yeah.
In that sense. And
I think how's my art growing up? I keep giving y'all niggas what y'all want.
Exactly. And I think for Kendrick, like he figured out a way to like mind fuck us with this project and do frontwards and backwards. It was very smart and very clever.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that where like you know how sometimes like people say like what's the difference between being smart and being intelligent? And like some people will say like, well, you can learn something in school, right, and like pass the test. But then like there's some people who like have like experiences like where like they learn things and like it makes them smarter. So like it makes them move through life smarter. And I think Kendrick's one of those people. Like you could be book smart and like you can read a book and take a test and like get 100 on the test, but like you don't utilize any of that in your real life.
Right.
So I think with Kendrick, like he's like a sponge. Everything that comes to him, he soaks it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in his music, like he gives it to us and it comes out so like brilliantly. Cause like the way he crafted this project is like what like fucking directors do for movies.
Yeah, facts. And it you could tell it took that much type of time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the recording process was like for him or how long it took.
That's my dream. My dream is to just be in the recording studio for a full length album, rap album, like see like everything that they go through.
Yeah.
Picking the track listing, doing the organization of it, how they keep what songs, why don't they use the other songs? Why don't they use the other songs at a later date? Like just get rid of it completely. It seems like the song, like we, you, all right, problems that we got Untitled Unmastered, right? After To Pimp a Butterfly. And then you listen to some songs, you're just like, oh my God, this song didn't make the album.
Make it, yeah.
So imagine like the songs that didn't make Damn.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So it was just like, you know, hopefully, maybe he'll give us another one.
Another Untitled Unmastered.
I would love another.
That'd be fly. That'd be really fly. We'll see. But check out the album if you haven't, or let us know what you think. I'm First Class Reg.
And I'm Torian B.
We're out of here.
Catch you guys next time. Dun dun.